Fire, what you saying?
Yes, sir. Holy heap of blessings and strength as usual, you know? Today we have a sister in the house, so we are going to give you some nice insight from the whole vibration. So, there you go.
Ah, serious thing. Janelle, how you doing?
Hi, I'm blessed, I have to say. I'm doing well. I'm thankful, you know? Just going through things I have to go through, but I'm thankful to hear, to be able to use my voice. So I'm thankful.
A serious thing.
True. Can I give the people my introduction and let them know the works you've been doing too for over a period of time? Because I know you're doing some powerful community works too, and we just want to always highlight that, because I like the sisters when they're doing the powerful works, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, first, I like to always say I'm a mother before anything else. A lot of the work that I do is a reflection of my life, dealing with my children. So besides that, I work in entertainment, so I do PR work. I was working with Power of Reggae. If everyone is familiar with Father German that recently passed in April, you know, rise in eternity, my brother. I worked with a lot of upcoming artists, doing artist development work. Doing campaigns and just doing all of the behind the scene works that come with that, bookings and all of those things. As far as in the community, I like to say that I'm a community complexity specialist, because it's not just one thing I target. You know, it's hard to put me in a box because I deal with a lot of different life issues. You know, I deal with the homeschool conference, I deal with just the Black family, the relationships. I deal with advocating for autism with needs, and I do all of it surrounding African-centered education and just, you know, being able to always represent African culture in some kind of way, you know, to support all of these different complexities that we are faced. So basically, I'm an entrepreneur and just like to just, you know, create community events so people can come together and to network, you know, to see how we can help each other. And I can't say that there's a time better than another time. It's always the right time to be able to come together, you know, with the issues that even just one person has. It's supposed to be all of our issue if one person have our issue, right?
True.
So that's basically what I'm about.
I noticed you start off by saying you're one of the most things that you're proud of is being a mother. So being a mother, are you ever afraid of sexual abuse as it relates to your children, and how do you actually like process that whole task?
Oh man, I can say unfortunately I've had already experience dealing with that in the public school system with my daughters, and just me being someone's daughter myself, I've dealt with it at a really young age. So I am very cautious about that. Because nowadays, I don't know, it's just because we deal with that problem mostly from people that we know, you know, so it's very hard to choose, you know, who's the perfect person to leave them with, or, you know, just caring for them, whether they were, because they're not in public school anymore, but I have abuse cases with both of my children. We're in the public school system in New Jersey, and both of their cases was closed because they couldn't make their own statements at the time. They were 4 and 5 years old, and my oldest was diagnosed autistic, so she wasn't verbal at the time. So it was people that witnessed what was going on with my children from people that we expect to care for them. So it's definitely something that that I have experienced that I'm surprised I didn't go crazy about. But I'm here to help other parents go through it. I think I speak to parents on a regular basis. Even if their child doesn't have special needs as far as being diagnosed with a development delay, even children that can speak up for themselves deal with sexual abuse. If it's not from other children, from their family members, it's rarely strangers. At least in my you know, my my experience with speaking to people, it hasn't been, oh, this person I didn't know grabbed me in a corner. It's been daddy, it's been uncle, it's been, you know, a sibling's friend, where I can openly talk about it. For me, the first time I was molested and raped out, it was my oldest brother, his friend, you know, someone that my family looked at as a brother as well, you know? So it's really difficult to always tell, you know, tell my children to trust people, to love people, but always watch everybody, you know? It's a difficult thing because you're like always on the edge now. Like, it's difficult to balance, and I don't want to instill so much fear into them to where they can't be who they are. Like, if they're, you know, we're women, we're nurturing, we're healers, and sometimes the predators prey on that, you know, whether they're the ones wanting the healing or, you know, they're acting drawn to that nature, but then they'll use that when you're in your most vulnerable state.
True.
Hey, question I have real quick is that, being that you work with people, right? How prevalent is sexual abuse in the community?
Oh my goodness. It's not talked about enough. We should have a rally just for that. Like, it was Black Lives Matter. I'm sure if we talk about sexual abuse in the community, even especially in my, now I was working in the entertainment business. It's crazy. Like I said, again, it's from people that you know. And I have my experience with that on numerous occasions, whether I was being abused at the events I was working at from people that possibly wanted to work with me as a event planner or as someone that was like a booking agent for artists. I was definitely abused by a few of them, you know, even other promoters, you know. It's and a lot of people don't speak up about it, and this is why I'm happy to be that voice, because I'm actually currently going through something in the same way, you know, being abused by someone that I trusted, that was my friend, that was a business partner at one time, we did events together, and he completely violated me. So and then when I'm speaking up about it, I'm hearing other people's story, and I'm like, we have to do better coming together. Like what you're doing right now, it's so essential, because you'll probably hear a lot more people speak up, like, oh, well, this happened to me, that happened to me. But when we don't talk about it, we're not able to help each other, to warn each other in a way too on who these people are. When if you go to the police station and you know you have a complaint report, you know, if it goes through, you know, if charges can be pressed, you know, they would have to sign up as a sex offender or something like that. But when they don't go to, when it doesn't go to that point, you know, nobody knows about it. And they're kind of kept, it becomes a kept secret, and it's not fair, you know, to the person that is experiencing it, that experienced it, you know? It's happening more often than I even knew. You know, just because I'm speaking up, like I said, I deal with community complexities. That includes telling my story. And when I have been telling my story, I'm hearing and I'm just like, it's so disappointing. It's hurting, because it's like, where do we go? Like, what are we going to do? You know, what else do we need to do?
I'm glad you said that, because what I noticed is that you have certain groups within the subculture, like you'll call a cultural group or a religious group. But what I noticed that those groups have a higher rate of abuse too. You would figure that, you know, the abuse would be different.
And the Rastafarian community.
Yeah.
True.
It's a big thing. I mean, and you know what's ironic about that is I can think about three situations since I moved back to Brooklyn that, and all of those people that I've had physical issues with were people that said they're Rastafarian or Bubu Shantis and all of these things. And so it kind of took me by surprise, because when I'm focused on business, that's it. You know, anybody that worked with me before would know that, you know. So if I'm thinking about events, fashion shows, or whatever I'm thinking about, and then this person just kind of grab you and pull you aside to slam you to a wall because they feel like you're not giving them sexual attention. And I'm like, I didn't even know that that's where their mind was, you know? So I had to learn the hard way of just being a woman in this business that some men, it don't matter how good you are at a certain thing, they still looking at you as what they can get from you in a physical way.
Do you find that makes it harder to actually plead your case, because most people might see those people as progressive and say that those people might not be doing any form of wrongs to you or whatever?
Exactly. Because guess what? That's what predators do. If you do your research, not even only in the Rastafarian community, but other cultures too, a lot of the people that have been predators are people that are in so-called, you know, high status in the community or have a certain image, you know, especially if you want to only look at social media, you know, they have a certain image to where people can say, oh, well, that they never did that to me, so I don't believe her. Or, you know, they'll come up with all kinds of things to protect that person because they never experienced it. But that's actually a strategic, you know, that's a tactical strategy from people that are predators. Because even the ones that has violated me also were protectors at one time. You know, they were also ones that I would look at and be like, no, this person protected me, or this person, you know, made sure I was always aware of looking out for people. And then at my most vulnerable state, they attacked me in that way. And I think a lot of people, a lot of men and maybe women, I haven't heard too many men complaining about being abused. Well, I know a few, but not to the, you know, extent of the women. I think a lot of the men don't even understand what abuse is or what rape is, because when I explain it back, like it's not connecting to them when a woman is not interested or when they say no. Like sometimes they can just feel like they can convince them or something.
Yeah, that they're kind of caught up in the social norms.
Is what it should be. You know, I remember one brother locked me in his car one time after an event because he thought that going to the event, trying to promote him wasn't enough, I guess. He thought it had to have been something else. And I was confused because I'm like, what did we do that made you so confused? You know, we're not having these discussions. We're not, you know, it doesn't matter what you even wear. You can be dressed down. I could wear my Adinkra symbols. You know, I can look as cultural as possible. I can pump my fist on my, and they still would have this mindset that they would want to break you down, you know? And yeah, so most of them are people that have a certain following on social media, and people might not want to even believe that they would do something like that. But I have personal experience with it, you know, where that's not the image they put out. So some people only deal with media. That's what feeds their intellect. And it would be very difficult for them to understand another woman's experience. And that's why we're very much divided with supporting each other with that topic.
Yeah, I find that this whole conversation is somewhat tied into a reasoning that we're going to do about the celebrity worship. And not celebrity just as in the fact that most people are known across the world, but known within their community, or known within their sector, or known within whichever environment that they're in. Most people tend to believe that there's a big double standard, whereas they can get a pass at doing certain things, but when it comes to a person who is ordinary, that person is looked down on and are frowned upon. And I think that's one of the main things that we need to get rid of, and it's become a part of our social norms, and it's kind of downplaying us as human beings in a general sense, you know?
People, right, I'm happy.
Sorry, real quick. People are real partial when it comes to certain things. You know, if you have status, especially if you have power, because what I notice is that when someone's dependent on others, especially for financial gain, it's like they don't see or hear anything. They get real blind, you know?
Exactly.
they don't see or hear anything. And I think that's what really takes place in that. And within our subculture, you have different tiers of celebrity. You know, and with our culture, we have our own little celebrities that may not be known in the mass culture, but they have their position in our subculture, mm-hmm. and a lot of times people abuse it, you know?
Definitely, you know, and sometimes that's their plan, is to make sure they have a certain image, so when they choose to attack, they feel like that's their MO to people. It's like, nah, that person would never do anything like that. And that's just what predators do. You know, they prey. They prey, and sometimes on the strongest people, you know, and the sad part is they can prey on you for years. Because honestly, the situations I've been in were people that I knew for a very long time. Very long, like people I would even consider my family, you know? And I think that hurts the most, because then it's like, who do you trust? You know, who do you go to when now there's a person in a certain status in the community has done something, and, you know, it's one thing to be trying to get justice, but then the healing that you need to go through for yourself is a whole nother energy. And I think that one is even more important than letting everybody know what's going on, because I wouldn't be able to sit here right now if I didn't spend a lot of time going through a lot of self-help or talking to certain people to help me to keep me sane, you know? And that's why I deal with community complexities, because we have to get together and have these discussions and to know where can I go to talk about this, you know? And then sometimes being afraid for your life. Like, there's no protection. A lot of people are in this mindset that only the police are predators, but sometimes that's where women like me, that's the only place we can go. You know, they're going to show up when you call. I mean, all of them aren't always showing up doing the right thing, but I can say the ones that showed up for me have treated me with more care than the people that I know that attacked me.
It's been a weird situation, because like sometimes you become stranded. You look to the help inside internally first, but then you get neglected, and then you have to turn externally. When you turn externally, it's like a lot of those people they can't relate to your problem. So you'd hope that the problem could be resolved internally by those around you. So it's like you're left stranded in the middle of an island and don't know what to do most of the times, you know?
Right, but when it happens, you know, for me, I always try to find a solution. And from what I learned now, it's that I have to be that source where someone can feel comfortable to come and talk to. Not only someone that has a child with special needs or someone seeking homeschool advice, but also if you're being abused by your husband, your friend, you know, you can come to some, you know, come to me or come to another person that's making themselves available. So you don't have to feel like you have to go through it alone, because once you feel like that, that's a different spiritual attack, you know, to feel like you don't have any support, you know? So I'm very happy that I reached out to the community, and a lot of people have shown me support that I didn't even know that I needed, because I'm always the giver. I'm always the one that's like, hey, Itachi, you got a new song out? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, just to use that as an example, true. That's how I deal with everything. I would contact parents, you know, is everything going good with the children? You need curriculum, this, that, you know, how's it going? But I didn't know how much I was missing until I was the person that needed, you know, that support. So I think that's, you know, I'm always trying to come up with programs and ways for people to feel safe, a safe place to go. So now this is just another thing to talk about, even though it's something I've experienced from a child. It's something that I've went through a few different times as an adult. So now I'm like, okay, I have to now be a voice for this complexity. I have to be a voice for it. You know, this is something that I'm dealing with. And I know that if other people can relate, maybe they can contact you to show or whatever, so they can also get that kind of support.
True, yeah, because that support is needed, and it shows that the community needs a balance, because even the caregivers need to be cared for. So we have to find some form of structure where everyone sees their relation. It's like a cycle. Everybody sees their relation.
Yeah, we get forgotten because we're so strong. We get forgotten because they're like, you can see me smile. You know, there's artists that sing songs like this. Like, you can look on my face and you can say, well, she don't look like something just happened to her, you know. But it's like we have to be taught now on how that even looks. You know, I guess you got to go more psychological. Psychological, yeah, because it doesn't have a look. And if somebody is good at masking their emotions, you're not going to see what their hurt look like. And sometimes it looks with the look of it is with a smile, you know?
Hey, question I have real quick is like, what you spoke about healing, right? What's the healing process like? And what advice would you give the ones who are healing from these experiences?
Look, I'm still going through it. So I can just tell you, what it is for me. It's been reaching out to other sisters, reaching out to brothers, real brothers, that I still have to want to trust and not completely contaminate myself with what an individual did, you know? And it's not easy. It's a lot of affirmations you have to go through. It's a lot of holistic healing you have to go through. It's definitely a spiritual thing. I hope I'm answering your question. My daughter just was calling me, so she caught me off guard. But yeah, it's a lot of, they just have to really reach out. You know, when I went to the homeschool office in Brooklyn, trying to ask them to promote this event for me to all of the people that homeschool, they told me they wouldn't do it because the people that choose that category, that way of life, need to reach out to their community. And that's the same way I would respond to someone that's needing help or going through something, is that you have to reach out to your community. You cannot think that you're alone. And once you think you're alone, then you are, you know? But if you say to yourself, no, I'm going to find somebody that can relate to me, that has helped me, because I have people praying for me and meditating with me and being able to stand with me. And like I said, I deal a lot with representing our African cultures. And in African cultures, we don't stand alone through things. We go through things as a village, okay? And that's what's missing a little bit, but because I'm still seeking it. I'm still searching for it. Like, where's the village? Am I supposed to create it? Where is it that I can go to say, this is the issue, and what are we going to do about it together? Not just, well, that's her issue, and I have my own problems, and that's, you know, no. We're supposed to be working through it together, you know? So hopefully they can find the courage to pick up the phone. They can call me, and I'm thankful. I've met a lot of great sisters that I can just not look like this around them if I have to cry and still be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here. And for them to say, it's okay, just stand with me, you know? Let's go through this together, you know, without hearing all the details, but you can just feel that energy, you know, that this person needs help, you know? So it's not always about giving all the information, but if you just can say, listen, I need help, you know, to know that you can, to say that I'm going to find someone that I can relate to, that can relate to me. And even if I don't tell them everything, they can stand with me and I can feel support. I would hope that they have the courage to do that.
True. Yeah, that's needed. That whole collective energy is needed, because I realize that due to all the capitalism structure, most people get caught up in the system, and everybody have this individual mindset but whenever they fall on hard times, they look for someone to help them with the healing, not realizing that if they had the collective effort and the collective energy from the get-go, then they would automatically have a structure in place that they would have contributed to, you know? So I feel like that is lacking, and if we can improve on the whole collective effort,
I'm very thankful for the collective that has been created, that I'm a part of, the network I'm a part of, because they have been my stronghold. They have been. When they don't see me for a while, because, you know, then I'll get a phone call like, you know, what's going on, from a few. And it's like, if they're used to seeing me at events, they don't know what my struggles are, you know, but then they don't see me anymore. Yeah, you have to check up on people when you don't see them anymore. You know, I've been through times where I couldn't walk, all kind of things. And you're not just going to call everybody, you know, and be like, hey, if you're not that kind of person, you're not going to call, you know. When you're the helper, you're not going to call. And even while you're going through that, I would still get calls to extend myself to others, you know, and won't explain what I'm going through. So hopefully people that has been abused or going through any kind of turmoil and they feel like they're struggling with it, hopefully they can find one person to just stand with them, you know, so they can understand that they're not alone. And I'm thankful that I experienced that. I don't think I would be here talking to you the way that I am if it wasn't for meeting other like minds or meeting people that was very rooted in our culture, in our African culture. If I didn't meet them, I probably wouldn't be here, because I always say my challenges are too hard for other people to understand, you know, and that kind of isolates you when you think, oh, nobody don't want to be bothered, or it's just so much. Because I've had some people say, you just go through too much. But I go through it because I'm going to overcome, and then I'm going to help someone else, you know? And I can, at this point in my life, I can help a lot of people in a lot of different stages, because I overcame. And I'm still here, and it's not an easy fix. It's not an easy fix. It's an everyday work you have to do on yourself to say, I trust this man. I just was violated by a black man that I loved, that I trusted, that was a friend, that I considered my family. But here's Itachi, and he wants me to talk to him. I have to trust you now with my story, you know? I have to trust you to kind of be my voice in a way, because, you know, now you can share it. If you meet another sister or a brother, you can say, you know, I met someone that is going through that. Maybe you should talk to her, you know? I have to trust that this is my purpose. That's my purpose, is to make sure that people don't think that they don't feel like they're alone.
A question I have is that I notice with a lot of the teenage girls, especially if they experience something, they're like totally cut off towards men. They have such disdain towards men. What advice would you give them in regards to being open to having a relationship with a man and building with a man?
Oh, my goodness. First, they got to build with themselves. They have to. It starts within us, because it's the healing process, like really forgiving ourselves. Because especially if you've been violated by someone you know, and you're going to be scrutinized by the community if it's someone in a celebrity status, you have to now forgive yourself that you put yourself in that situation to be that vulnerable, that you called someone your friend. And as a teenager, I know of a few people that go to schools or were going to schools to talk to children about being raped by their friends and or how to support a friend that's been raped or abused, you know, because I was a teenager going through stuff. I was going through domestic violence situations. Again, it starts from within, but you have to find people that you can relate to go through it with you. Because you can't relate to a man that didn't do anything to you unless you really let go of all of the energy that you received from someone that violated you. It's not the same, you know, and it's a battle, but it's a battle within yourself, honestly. And I'm just saying, because I go through it from being molested, abused, and raped. I go through it still. I'm 38, you know, but I remember being a teenager that was still trying to have friends, even though I was violated by this one or that one. But all the ones that I chose to really trust, especially if you were molested young or raped, abused young, and you're still looking for that male figure to protect you, and then that's the person that keeps violating you, it could become a bad cycle. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. They could probably explain it a little more. Then you probably get wrapped up in that cycle of only staying with people that's going to abuse you. You know, that could become dangerous, you know, not understanding that they're doing something wrong and that you have to fix something within yourself now after experiencing that, without blaming yourself, but forgiving yourself. Because I have to do it now. I have to forgive myself now, you know, as a grown woman, to say that wasn't my fault. And I've already had a few people say to me what I did wrong, because I trusted someone, you know. So as a teenager that's still going through development, we're always still going through development while we're here anyway. Definitely find an outlet. And it's not easy. I've went to therapy. And I've had therapists that cried when I told them just even what I was going through with my oldest daughter. So I'm like, if I can't even talk to them about being a parent with special needs, how am I going to talk to them about everything else? So, you know, if you can't find someone to relate to, no matter what their title is, you know, you could feel alone. So I just hope and I pray and I'll meditate on those teenagers that they can find someone or the strength within themselves to create what's not even there. Because I have to do it sometimes. If they don't think someone is there and they know that, you know what, I have to speak up and be that creator, you know, find your purpose and to know that we don't go through anything for nothing at all. And it couldn't be hard. It can seem like that. But after you find that strength within yourself, you can definitely help someone else that feels like they're going to commit suicide because they think they're just going to continue to be abused and molested from people that they care about.
Yeah, definitely true. And that statement is heartfelt too, because as I say, that's the reason why we need to hear more voices of the sisters, especially when it comes towards issues like this. And anything revolutionary, as a matter of fact, and grassroots, we need to hear more from the sisters without any form of editing towards it in the terms of the thought process and the way they express themselves too. Because oftentimes, the expression of the sisters are just seen as random emotional rants rather than directed directed statements towards actual problems within the community. So yeah, we really give thanks for even listening, because for most time you're talking, I'm listening to you keenly, not even piece of what you're saying, but everything you're saying. And it's so funny that last week we actually reasoned we mentioned that you're not a psychologist, but we reasoned with a psychologist and your thought process is actually matching up with hers. So that's kind of one of the most interesting things to see, you know. So believe me, it's a joy to see the story and to see how many life it can impact too, because we can't take it simply, you know.
Yeah, we just have to keep coming together. I think that's just the purpose. We have to keep coming together. You have to keep creating topics where people can have a voice, so it can influence someone else and our children, you know. They're being abused and affected too, and it's not easy. But it's a journey of knowing yourself, you know. It's definitely a journey of knowing yourself, what you have to let go, you know, what how to move forward. Because some people could keep running. I've had people, every time something happened, run, go this way, go that way. And you can't always keep running. That's not what our ancestors did. Not the ones that made a lot of difference. You know, they stood up and they fought. So I would always say, that's something I say to myself, is that I have to have that spiritual foundation to know that, you know, I'm going to die on my feet. I think I said that to you one day. I will, because I'm not going to run from anyone anymore. But I can relate to someone that feel afraid and feel like they don't have nowhere to turn. I remember walking hours to precincts and stuff because I'm looking for help. And or I'm walking down the street crying, feeling like, oh, my goodness, nobody is even acknowledging this. And like, how broken is our community that you can see a sister walking down the street and you don't even ask what's going on, you know? So we just have to be a little bit more sensitive, because it can happen to our siblings. It can happen to the next generation, you know? So we just have to not desensitize ourselves so much on other people's, you know, experiences and what their struggles are, because it could easily come to our front door.
No, reality, meds. And we give thanks for the reasoning still, and we give thanks for the strength in sharing the story, you know, because the thing that gets me a lot of times is people always talking about progress. And there's a lot of aspects within our community, within our homes, that we need to deal with before we can see progress. And sexual abuse is one. To me, you get what I'm saying. People talk about finance and stuff. It's just like this sexual abuse thing is at the top of the list, because you're destroying lives of people, and people can't function properly and work on a high.
Oh, yeah. So, the mental illness rate is extremely high, and not only for men, but for women, and mainly a lot of us has been abused from young. And I can relate to that, you know, to where I saw my abuser when I was in my 30s, and I kind of went crazy a little bit, like started wandering the street and didn't understand why I was still affected by that from something that happened when I was 7. So I have to put myself through a whole lot of therapy, self-therapy, because like I said, I haven't met too many people that I can talk to without them breaking down, you know? So I have to find that strength within myself, you know? And it's not easy, but the, you know, just finding that spiritual foundation and knowing our ancestors, knowing what they've been through, you'll find that strength. So I hope anybody listening that's struggling with anything can find that strength within themselves, and then find their village, their soul village, where they can relate. Or, you know, once you create something, it's going to come. Everything I created, all the people that I have reached or that have reached me, is because I chose to create something, even in the pain. I said, I'm going to create this because this is my issue right now. Let me see who else is going through this. And that worked for me, you know, just creating a platform for that community complexity in any community. It don't matter where you move. Some people say, go back to Africa. Well, they have community complexities going on there too. You know, women are being molested, raped. There's some villages men aren't even allowed because the women that created those villages were being abused from their husbands. You know, so it's a deep thing. And it's not an easy thing to get through, you know. And like I said, the mental health illness rate is high in women. So all of that, you know, projecting, like pushing you off, and because of the color of your skin, you're not good because of something somebody else did. That it's very essential to cleanse yourself and really find that deep-rooted thing to let all of that negative energy go. Or you're going to keep carrying it and projecting it on other people, you know, that can help you or you can help. And once you have that blockage, it's just going to be that ongoing cycle of people that are hurting other people, you know. There's a lot of people that's been molested that walk around looking at it like being sexual with someone else doesn't mean anything to them. So they're just going to keep doing that, not without thinking that this person has feelings. You know, and sometimes they're just really not on that consciousness level that another person is on. It's just a deep thing, you know. And like I said, as much as the gun violence and everything else, that's the police brutality and everything else, this is an issue that needs its own marches too. Because
yeah, definitely we have to clean house and make sure we clean the house good, and then we can attack certain issues too. So yeah, that's a fuck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So thank you guys, you know, for being that example of wanting to listen to someone's a woman's voice that is not. I don't know. Other people might look at me different depending on who I've been to them, but I'm not considered a celebrity. I'm not on nobody's mainstream media, but so I thank you for allowing me to speak my voice so I can share my story and hopefully influence someone else to be greater regardless of the challenges they have to endure with sexual abuse in entertainment or from childhood. You know, it's very important to be aware all the time and to stay away from certain things that can probably put you in that situation, but sometimes you can't. Not when it's someone you're choosing to trust. You won't have that same mindset. So it's either you don't trust nobody ever, you know, or you're going to trust some people. And then when those people are the ones that hurt you, like what happened to me recently, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with. But like I said, I'm following my own advice and I am working within myself to forgive myself, not from trusting people, you know, but just knowing that that was not my fault, you know, and I can move forward with helping others, you know. So I thank you guys again.
We give thanks for the reasoning still.